All right. Well, hey, guess what? We are starting a new series this week. How many of you were blessed, though, in that Twisted series? How many of you learned something? You learned something, all right? Well, praise God. We're so, so glad that you learned something. Now we're going to move into a new series, though, and I'll be honest with you. This has been rolling in my heart for several weeks now. Several weeks it's been rolling in my heart to get to this series because I really was looking forward to it. And as you think about it, it's something that affects each and every one of us. In some way, shape, or form. It's actually probably a place that you've heard about or something you've thought about. And you ready? Here it is. It's real deep. Okay, that's weird. There's a slight delay there. I don't know why. But anyway, how many of you have ever heard of heaven? Heaven, absolutely. That's what our entire series is going to be about. Now, let me kind of lay out where we're going. This week, I'm going to kind of lay the foundation of why I think heaven matters so much and why you should study it. And I'm going to give you some key nuggets about it. But then what we're going to do is we're going to skip a week. Next week is Father's Day, so we're going to minister specifically to the fathers. And then after that, we're going to come back for three or four, five, six, eight, 12, 20 weeks and talk about heaven. All right? And I promise you, in this series, you don't want to miss a Sunday, because each week I'm going to give you some things that honestly I've never preached on before, some areas that I've never touched on before. I know when it comes to heaven, though, specifically when it comes to heaven in the Bible, there are a lot of different opinions and ideas out there. Matter of fact, there are books all over the place about heaven. And I'll be honest with you, some of them are good, some of them are not so good. You say, well, what makes a book not so good about heaven? Well, if it's not based in the Bible, if it's not based in the truth of the Word of God, how many of you know it's probably not something you should be taking to the bank? Yeah, it's not. So there's all kinds of ideas out there as far as heaven. I know there's some people think that, you know, heaven, there's just no way we could possibly know anything about it. Now, I will tell you, there are aspects about heaven that we don't understand or know. There are certain things, but for the most part, the Bible teaches a lot about heaven, a lot. Matter of fact, the first church, first 200 years of the church in existence, it really anchored itself in the idea that heaven was our home. How many of y'all believe that today? I believe that. Now, check this out. As we go through it, though, as years go past, a lot of different ideas get out there. One idea, I know some people think of heaven, they close their eyes and they see clouds. And they see, you know, rainbows, and they see, like, angels, and they see people sitting on clouds, fanning, eating strawberries. The angel one cracks me up, though, because I remember in Bible college, they had this one stained glass that was right in the center of the room we called the chapel. And you'd go in there, and in that room was this stained glass, and there was this angel sitting there. And the angel was sitting on a ledge. Now, the first problem I had with the angel was the angel looked about 10 years old, okay? And it was small. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a spiritual war, how many of you want the small angel showing up? No, I want the biggest, baddest angel on the planet to show up, praise God. And not only that, he was sitting there on a shelf, you know, on this little ledge, and he had a pot belly. Like heaven needed a weight loss program or something to get the angels up into shape. It really, really bothered me. And since then, I kind of make it my thing to look at angels as I go around. And I've even seen angels that are on wallpaper that, get this, that they got a little pot belly. They're little bitty kids, and they got little wings, and they're little bitty things, and they got a little belly, and they got a belly button. Hey, some of you didn't get that. Angels were created. They don't have those. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? There's some crazy ideas out there. Some of you think heaven is going to be one long church service. And I'll be honest with you. If we show up and we get to heaven and it's a one long church service after doing this for like 50 years or something, and then you got somebody up there going, and the Lord, ha, ha. Count me out, y'all. I'm not into that. That's not my idea of heaven. But sometimes people get that. Matter of fact, I was looking on the web and I found some ideas that people have of heaven. Now, these are comics, so it's kind of funny. Here's the first one. The first one, it says this. You were a believer, yes? You skipped the not being a jerk about it part. You know what I mean? Now, this next one, I got to be honest with you. It's not the most godliest thing. It's not. Okay? But it's flat out hilarious. Flat out hilarious. And I got to be, it's not the godliest thing. It is not the godliest thing. I was studying out underneath the tent that nobody used in the picnic tables this week. I was sitting out there, and as I was studying, I was, you know, just looking for stuff that kind of describe heaven or whatever funny stuff. And I ran across this, and as soon as I read it, I literally fell sideways on the bench. All right? Now, have I told you that it's probably not the most godliest thing? Have I said that? Okay, now here it is. You ready? You go. Some of you, and if you've had this in your life and you can identify, you can clap. You can do whatever you want, but here it is. You ready? Here it is. That's one of our most popular features by far. It says, see your ex-spouse in hell. Look how long the line is. Notice they got halos, not in the Bible. They got wings, not in the Bible. Yeah. Do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. How many of you can get some of that, though? Be like, yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. No, hey, listen. How many of you know, if you think about heaven and you think about what it all represents, can I assure you of today that this is not what heaven is really all about? This is not what heaven is about. And when you take heaven and compare it to anything on this planet, you're always going to fall short. Because the Bible tells us, Mike and I were having a day a couple days ago. We were driving around, just having a good time, chit-chatting and hanging out. And it was cool. We were having fun. And while we were doing that, this message has been rolling around in my heart. And I told Michael, I said, Mike, you know the feeling we have right now? You know, the feeling that, man, this is cool. This is awesome. We're hanging out, having a good time. He goes, yeah. I said, Mike, heaven is going to be like this, multiplied by 1,000 for eternity. And get better every day. Heaven is going to be like that. Heaven is not so much about the place, although that's important and that's what we're going to talk about. I'm telling you, it's more about what God does in us. Heaven is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And my opinion is you don't want to miss it for the world, literally. You don't want to miss it for nothing because it is one of the most awesome, awesome things whenever it really comes down to it. Jesus said this, for I have come down from where? I've come down from heaven. So here's my thing about that. How many of you know if you're ever going to listen to somebody, you should listen to the one who came from there? That's why Jesus has final say on what heaven is and isn't. Because Jesus came from there. He came and told us all about it. He came and talked to the apostles about it. We know the apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. I'll show you that in just a second. But before we go any further, let's define specifically what heaven we are talking about. Okay? So in the Bible, the word heaven can be used several different ways. Heaven is oftentimes referred to as the atmosphere on the earth. In other words, where the birds fly. Y'all know what I'm saying? The atmosphere around the earth is called the heavens or heaven. And actually, we refer to it as the first heaven, okay? That's not what this series is about. But then you got the second heaven, which is the stars, solar system, and cosmos. In other words, outer space, Hubble telescope type stuff, out there, all right? That is called the second heaven in the Bible, but it's often referred to as heaven, all right? Then you have the third, which is the place where God dwells, which is what this entire series is about. It's about where God dwells. Now, before I can take you, though, and tell you about heaven, that place, I almost feel like I need to back up and show you kind of the transitions that have happened over time as to how God and man transition into the heaven that we have currently now. So here's the deal. Here's a timeline. Here's a timeline of creation all the way to the new heaven and new earth. How many of you know, or how many of you've never heard, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? You've never heard of that. Never heard of it. Okay? How many of you have heard of the new heaven and new earth? Praise God. That's awesome. All right. Because listen, here's the truth. That is our eternal home. We're going to be talking about a lot of this stuff over here. But for today, I want to concentrate from here to the cross, all right? So here's the deal. When God created the earth, he put man on it. We know that, Genesis 1:26, he put them, male and female, in the earth, said multiply, and then fill the earth, praise God. No, multiply, fill the earth. Now, we know that that happened. We know that man, but in the midst of that, Adam and Eve made a decision, rebelled against God, and the fall happened, right? Okay, so now, before the fall, though, mankind and God worked and had relationship in perfect unity, complete unity. Matter of fact, heaven and earth were connected. They were as close as heaven on earth could be. God and man. Man walked with God in the cool of the day, the Bible says. They walked around on the earth. God inhabited the Garden of Eden. Everybody knows that, right? Okay, now, what happened? Adam and Eve chose. So if you could look at this in about four phases, it would help you. Phase one, the time of innocence, where man and God walked in the garden. That was phase one. Phase two, get this, happens whenever from the fall all the way to the resurrection of Jesus, all right? Now, here's the deal. Because the fall happened, man, from the time of the fall all the way to the resurrection, could not go to heaven, heaven being where God dwells, the place called heaven, all right? Listen, man could not go there. You say, why? Because the blood of Jesus, which was the ransom for all of our sins, had not been poured out yet. Now, which disqualified man from being in the presence of God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So, where did man go? Here's what actually happened. I'm going to read a story in the Bible. It's a literal story because it says there was a certain man. I'm going to read through that story. I'm going to point out specific points about it. And then after I read through it, I'm going to explain how it all happened. And I'm going to come back to this timeline. So, here's the deal. Creation of man, creation of the earth, the fall of man, that's one. Two, from the fall of man all the way to the cross, what happened with people when they died or passed away? Here's what happened. Check this out. This is Luke chapter 16. It says this, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. We know it actually existed because it says a certain man named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gates. Watch this. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. How many of you know that's just gross? It's just gross. Yeah. All right. So now let me set it up. There's a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man gave Lazarus crumbs from his table, basically. That's the story so far. All right? Now watch this. Next verse. So, desiring to be fed. Yeah, I got that. All right, here we go. So it was that the beggar what? The beggar died and was carried by who? The angels. I believe that with all my heart. Even as believers today, I believe that when you die, angels escort you to heaven. Some of you men ain't going to ask for directions. I know. God's taking care of that. But on a serious note, I've been around enough people who are passing away to tell you that oftentimes when they get close, they start seeing over into the other side and start seeing angels. And I believe those angels are there to escort them to their eternal place. Now, watch this. And again, that's Charlie Riley. I'm not saying that. But the Bible does say during this time period that angels carried them to Abraham's bosom. All right? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. What's Abraham's bosom? I'll tell you in a minute. Let me explain. The rich man also died and was what? Was buried. That's it. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his what? Bosom. So you got the rich man over there in torment and you got Lazarus over there in a place called Abraham's bosom. That's what we have so far. Look at this. Then he cried out, the rich man did. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. The audacity of this guy cracks me up. Here is this guy in hell still trying to boss poor Lazarus, boss him around while he's over there in paradise. Some people never stop. It says, the finger of water and that he may cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this what? In this flame, absolutely. Look at this. But Abraham said, son, remember in your what? Listen, remember in your lifetime. Some people have thought when they pass away, you won't remember your lifetime. The Bible teaches something completely different. That when you die, when you go to heaven or hell, you remember your lifetime. One is in hell, one is in paradise, and they both remember what went on the earth. You will remember, actually, to a greater degree than what you do now. You won't need ginkgo biloba. The young people, ginkgo what? Never mind. And likewise, Lazarus, the evil things. Look, you received the good things in life, and likewise, Lazarus received the evil things. But now he is what? Comforted. So Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, and you're in torment. Look at this, it goes on. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. In other words, you are in hell, you can't get out. There's a great gulf in between. Nor can those from there pass to us, right. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Remember, he remembers his father's house. Look at this. For I have five brothers that you may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of what? Torment. Okay, everybody look at me. Let me break it down. Now, let me give you the timeline so that you can see. Those of you on the radio, sorry, but here it is. It says this. We have the creation, and then we have the fall. From the fall to the resurrection of Jesus, what happened was when someone died, they did not go to heaven. All right? Even if they were a saint, even if they believed Jesus was the Messiah coming. Everybody look at me and know this. Every person, under the old covenant, new covenant, Old Testament, New Testament, all the Bible, all believers are believers because they either believe Jesus was coming or Jesus has come. The Jews believed the Messiah was coming. And because of that, they obeyed the laws and they did these things. That's how they ended up in a place called paradise or heaven, as we call it. All right? So, now watch this. During this time period, what happened? Here's what happened. Someone would die. Angels would escort believers that believed the Messiah was coming to a place under the earth, the Bible teaches, under the earth called Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was on one side, or it's also known as paradise. Same word, okay? Paradise, Abraham's bosom on one side. On the other side was a place called hell, Sheol or Hades, however you want to translate it, Greek, Hebrew, Arabic, all right? Hell, English, all right? Hell, and now paradise or Abraham's bosom, okay? Why is it called Abraham's bosom? Because he was the father of faith, okay? All right, now, so get this. You have this, and in between is a gulf. We don't know what it was. We just know that they could not pass one to another. The people that were in paradise were comforted. The people that were in hell were in torment, all right? Now get this. Now during this time, they could see each other. And actually, according to the Bible, they could communicate, which was weird, but it is true. All right? So here you go. Now watch. The Bible says that after Jesus dies, he went to hell, got the believers, not the unbelievers. There's no second chance. He got the believers. He took them and led them out of hell, which at that time was paradise. He took them and went by through the earth and went to heaven. And then hell was then enlarged with the old place that used to be paradise or Abraham's bosom. Actually, hell expanded and took in all that under the earth. And then those saints that were there all went to heaven. All went to heaven. Some of them, we don't know how many, stop by the earth to say hi for a while. Say, you believe that, Pastor John? Well, I believe the Bible. Here it is. You ready? Check this out. This is pretty interesting to me, if you're like me. Look at this. Look at this. Matthew 27 says this. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn. We know that was when Jesus died. The veil of the temple was torn. Next thing that happens is an earthquake from top to bottom. And then the earth quaked and the rocks were what? We're split. Look at this next part. And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had died, were raised. All right, this is the first resurrection. And coming up out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there that day? Could you imagine being like, you know, a mortician? You just put someone in the grave last week and they show up. Hi. I would mess with family. I'd be like, no, but seriously, I want you to understand what happened. They were under the earth being held at Abraham's bosom. Then after Jesus had died, guess what? Now the blood's been shed. Yes. Now the price has been paid, yes. Right? So guess what? Now heaven is open. And now they left the earth, underneath the earth, and they were on their way to heaven. And on the passerby, they stopped and said hi. It's exactly what happened on their way. How many of y'all believe the Bible? Yes. I believe it through and through. Now, sometimes it doesn't make sense, so you got to go and find out what this is talking about. But that's exactly what happened. They went to heaven, and as they were passing through, they said hi to a few loved ones. I believe that with all my heart. So now for the believer, we're on the other side of the cross. How many of you know the blood of Jesus has been spilled? We are redeemed. Okay, I got like three. How many of you know we are redeemed? Yes. We're saved. Yes. Heaven is our home. Yes. Okay, all right. Then now we know this. Yes, we are confident, and yes, well pleased. Rather to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Awesome, guys. Be absent from our bodies to be present with the Lord. So our last breath here is our first breath there. We know that when we leave this earthly vessel, as soon as we lay it down, we wake up in heaven, praise God, and it's instant. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the hope that we have. That is and it's not a hope like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. This is the anchor of our soul. We believe this with all of our heart. So because of that, let me ask you this. Because of that, it should change things in your world. It should change the way you view life. It should change the way you view the world. It should change the way you view everything. Or at least it does me. So I got to thinking about it this week. What are the things that actually should change in us if we have an eternal heavenly mindset? What are the things? Well, I can tell you, I'm going to give you three. If you want to write these down, that's great. Because here's the truth. Number one, our perspective should change. Our perspective should change. It should radically change. When we know heaven is our home and we know we're headed there and we know God dwells, man, it should change our perspective. I'll give you a great example of this. How many of you love DVRs? Oh, is that it? You liar, liars, pants on fire. Oh, we're saved. We don't watch TV. Okay, whatever. I love the DVR. Why? Because I don't want to watch everything on TV. I just don't. I like watching bass fishing and drag racing pretty much as well. I like watching just a few things. I actually don't watch TV hardly at all. In a week, if I watch 5 hours, I'd be shocked. But here's the truth. You ready? Here's the deal. Come football season, I like to watch football. I like football. Okay, now, let me go there for a minute and explain what I mean. I sometimes, because of the responsibilities of what I have going on, I don't get to watch the game. Well, one of the worst things about DVR in the game is that other people are going to tell you about the game. I remember a few years ago, there was this time where it was a championship game, Colts playing, and I was in, I don't know how many exact years ago, but a few years ago, and I told everybody, don't tell me about the game. Don't tell me about the game. We had a meeting here at the church. I said, don't tell me about it. I want to go home and watch it. All right? So I hop in the car. Nobody said anything to me about it. I hop in the car. I'm driving down the road, and the radio announcer said it. And I was annoyed because while in the meeting, people kept telling me we were down. We ended up down by a whole lot. And then Andrew Luck came back. All right? You probably remember the game. But I was annoyed because the TV came on, or the radio came on and said, we won. I was annoyed, but at the same time, get this, I want to talk to you. I'm talking about perspective. I got home, I got me some Oreos, some milk and sweet tea, of course. I know, you're like, oh, hush, it's my party, all right? And I'm sitting there, and normally, because everyone knows I know everything about football, normally I'm coaching the TV. All right, come on, any other men like that? Come on, we know what's up. Yeah, we don't call hike plays with two guys. Okay, now get this. Normally I'm talking to the TV. I'm telling the TV, hey man, what are you doing? Come on, you might know what I'm saying? You're like, come on, I can't believe, I gotta get me something to drink just to cool off, right? I kid you not, I'm watching it on the DVR. I know who wins. We got down, it's no big deal because I know we come back and we win. Because I already knew the outcome from the beginning. And because I knew the outcome from the beginning, it changed my perspective. It changed the way I watched it. It changed how much I could enjoy it. Come on, y'all picking up what I'm putting? You smell what I'm cooking? Can I tell you, in the end, we win? Can I tell you, heaven is our home? And in the end, we win? And you know, we're walking this thing out. But can I tell you, in the end, we win. And in the end, Jesus is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And in the end, he is going to set up his earthly kingdom. Yes, he is. In the end. Praise God. So my point is, don't get all wound up. Don't get all sweating it. Don't get all worried about it. Because the truth of the matter is, your perspective is he is King and he is Lord. And in the end, he's going to work this thing out for us all. Praise God. Come on, amen? That should be your perspective. So now, let me give you a couple verses to go along with that idea. Look at this. For our citizenship is where? In heaven. Do you believe that? I believe that. Our citizenship is in heaven. I am an ambassador of Christ on the earth. That's what the Bible says. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes into a foreign land and declares what the king or the leaders that he represents desire. See, you and I, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ. We come into a foreign land, a strange land, and we declare the works of God, the things of God, the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the mercy. All, we declare all those things because we're here as ambassadors representing our King. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. Our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for our Savior and our Lord, who? Jesus Christ, absolutely. Hebrews 11, I love Hebrews 11. If you have any time this week and you can read chapter 11 of Hebrews, it will stir your faith. But here's what it says. These are talking about great men of faith in the Old Testament. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and what? Pilgrims on the earth. Every time I hear that now, I think of that that DirecTV commercial where they're settlers. Every time I see that. But on a serious note, let me go back here. Listen to this. It says that we are strangers in what? Pilgrims. When I was in the military, one of the things I realized in the military was that political people control the military. I realized I missed government class. And I missed that part. In the military, you realize real quick there's a whole bunch of people making decisions that don't know anything about it. If you've been in the military, you know exactly what I'm saying. And that used to just get on my last nerve. I just couldn't stand it. Could not stand it. Well, anyway, I decided while I was in the service that after I got out, and even before I got out, I was going to educate myself on how the government's supposed to work, what's supposed to happen, how it's supposed to work, like, you know, how are laws made? They're not made by some guy sitting up there signing a piece of paper. It's supposed to go through the House and Senate, and that's how people make laws. But anyway, there's three branches of government and checks and balances and all that stuff. You guys right? Everybody here? All right, so I'm all wound up about it. I get out of the service, I come back to Kokomo, and I start seeing some of the things, not necessarily so much about Kokomo, more on a national level and state level and all that. I'm just wired about it, and I'm just always ranting about it. I'm constant. And it just annoys the snot out of me because, you know, I'm like, don't they see it? This is black and white. This is black and white. I mean, everybody knows this, and everybody knows that, and why can't they do this, and what's wrong with that? Just on and on and on. And finally, the Lord just said this to me. He said, do not get yourself all wound up about that. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Don't get yourself all wound up about that. You're just passing through. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. I'm here for a season. Am I here to represent truth? Yes. Righteousness? Yes. Stand up for justice? Yes. Am I to do all those things? Absolutely. But if I lose every time, does it matter? No. What matters is my citizenship is in heaven, right? I'm an ambassador of Christ, just like you are. We're all ambassadors. And I'm here to represent the King. I'm here to speak on his behalf. But if no one listens, it's okay. If y'all want to just go ahead and ruin the whole thing, shoot holes in the boat, that's all right. Y'all gonna sink. And guess what? I have a rescuer. And he's coming for me. And I get to spend eternity with him. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, I'm just here for a while. You're not here forever. Let's say you live to be 150 years old, which would be a long time. It's still short in the midst of eternity. Am I right? Absolutely. See, here's the truth. We can look up at our problems and down on our God, or we can look down on our problems and up to our God. I was thinking about it this way, talking about perspective still. And, you know, the sun doesn't shine from October till March in Indiana. Or at least you might get the idea that the sun is broke from that time period. Okay, you ain't got to amen me. I'm all by myself. It's okay. And I know you're probably the one complaining about the swamp weather. I like this swamp weather, praise God. I can jump in a pool, get cool, praise God. You can't turn the sun on in January. All right, anyway, from October to March, the sun doesn't shine. But last October, we took a trip, or November, I think, we flew out of Indianapolis. And as we're leaving, it's amazing because we took off at ground level, and within 3 minutes, we cut through the clouds. As soon as we cut through those clouds, guess what? The sun was there. See, here's the truth. You can look at life on the ground level, or you can have a heavenly perspective on the earth and know that this thing will change, praise God, and that our home is there, not here. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. Here's the second thing I believe you should change. It should change. It should give you a heart of perseverance. When you know heaven is your home, you should have a persevering spirit and attitude on the inside of you. It should change your perspective and allow you to persevere. You should know, I can do this thing, I can make it through this thing, no matter how bad and how hard it is, I will get through it. Because in the big scheme of things, this is short. This is a short period of time. Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 4:18. It says this. Therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed what? Day by day. In other words, things on the outside may be going down, but things on the inside are going up on the inside of you, praise God. You should be growing deeper and deeper and faster and higher in God. For our light afflictions are what? Come on, everybody say light. Light afflictions. Whatever you might be going through in life, you may have to go through it for 110 years, 120 years, if you live that long. In light of 120 years, though, in light of eternity, in light of forever, how many of you know anything that you would be going through would be considered light? It's a light affliction. a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far and exceeding an eternal weight of glory. In other words, your light affliction is actually working for you on the other side. On the other side. Look, for which, while we do not look to the things which are what? Seen. Yeah, we don't set our eyes on what we can see. Why? Here's what he says. It says, but on the things which are not seen. Why? For the things that are seen are what? You better believe it. You set your eyes and you put all your hope and all your faith and all your trust in the things on this planet, you will be greatly, greatly, greatly disappointed in the end. Because guess what? It's seen. That means it changes. We set our hearts on things which are not seen, heaven as our home, because it's eternal and it's not changing. How many of you believe that? Absolutely. I believe that. Jesus in John 14 said this, let not your heart be troubled. Absolutely. This is a persevering scripture. Say, Pastor Charlie, how do you get that out of that? Here's why. When it says this, understand, this is the night before Jesus is about to be betrayed. The night before. He's with his compadres. They're hanging out, right? Doing their thing, and the last thing he tells them, one of the last things, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That should change your perspective. He was really saying you're about to go through some hard things, but remember, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many what? Mansions. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that kind of stuff. If it were not so, I would have what? Told you, and I go to prepare a place what? For you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you where? To myself. That where I am, there you may be what? Also. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, what's that place like? I'm going to give you just a few things here that heaven is like. Number one, it's a real place. It's real. It's real. You know, people have asked me about animals. Are there animals in heaven? Jesus comes back on a white horse. I don't even know there are animals in heaven. Is my dog in heaven? I believe God could do that. I'm being serious with you. I know some of you are like, I don't know. I don't like my dog. Well, maybe not your dog. I believe God could do that. Jesus coming back on a white horse. I'm not a horse guy. I'm a tea bucket guy. I'm coming back on a roadster. But anyway, that's my deal. All right? Listen to this. That's a joke. The Father is there. The Father. You say, oh, no, you're a T-bucket, you ain't coming. Oh, yes, I am. Why? How do I know that? There are streets of gold. What drives on streets? Okay, anyway. Jesus is there. Do you believe that? Yeah. How about this? Believing loved ones are there. I got people in my family and people that I've loved that have passed away. My Father's there. I can't wait. Our names are recorded there. Our inheritance is there. Our citizenship is there. The best of earth and better is there. Mm-hmm. Have you ever lived on this earth and have you ever had an experience where you had just an awesome, awesome time, but in your heart you're like, well, it was good, but it wasn't all that. Right? You know? I've heard some people say, you know what, Pastor Charlie? Young kids specifically say, you know, I love heaven and I want Jesus to come back, but I don't want it to come back while I'm young. Let me translate that for you. Before I have sex. You know, I don't want God to come back before I have sex and get married. Right? Or you get someone a little bit older and say, Pastor Charlie, I don't want God to come back and I don't want to go to heaven before, you know, before I have my first kid. I want to experience having my first kid, and I want a child, and I want to feel what that's about. Or maybe you're a little bit older in age, and you think, you know what? I want to experience heaven, but you know what? I'm 2 weeks from retirement, and after that, I'm going on a month vacation. I want Jesus to come back after that. See, and really what people don't realize is, a lot of times, here's what they're saying. Heaven sounds great, but it can't be better than sex, kids, or retiring and going on vacation. Can I tell you, heaven is far greater than all those combined, multiplied by 1,000. How many of you remember thinking that way as a kid, though? I'm the only weirdo. No, I do remember that. I'm being as dead serious as I can be. I remember it was 1988, sitting at Kokomo High School, all right? And I was sitting in class, not paying attention, because that's what I did. And I was sitting there, and they said Jesus was returning in 1988. There was even a book about it, like 88 reasons why Jesus was returning in 1988. And I was like, Jesus is going to come any minute now. I was like, man, I hope he comes before I got to do this homework. You know what I mean? But I still remember thinking, yeah, but if he comes early, I don't get a girlfriend. I don't get to graduate. I don't get to live my life. I want to live my life. Here's why. That is a very temporal, earthly idea of heaven. Because can I tell you? Sex, okay, whatever. How many of you know, kids, that prayer changes? Lord, let me have a kid. Give me a baby. You know what I'm talking about. 6 months later, come Jesus. Come today, praise God. Somebody's gonna die. Just telling you the truth, man. Telling you the truth. Because the reality is this. Heaven should give you a persevering attitude, right? And it's far greater than anything temporal, right? All right, here's the last one. You ready? It should absolutely transform your priorities. It should absolutely transform your priorities. It should change the way you look at life. See, if you're only living for this earth, you're going to live by a set of rules and a set of ideas and a set of beliefs, and that's going to be it. But listen, when you're living for heaven, it should transform the way you do everything. It should transform the way you spend your money, transform the way you think about life. It should transform. I know this. It transforms the way I do funerals. When I know it's someone who died and went to heaven, I don't preach it like, oh, no, it's terrible. I'm like, phew, this is a party, man. They got promoted. They got up out of here, man. They went to heaven. They got to see their family. They got to be around God. They got to be about the river of God. They got to eat the fruit from the tree of life. They got to eat everything. They are in a tropical place. It's not a bad thing. It changes the way you prioritize things. I know one of the things that bothers me, and again, what I'm about to say, I'm only using this as an example. Please hear my heart on this. I am all for kids being in sports. My kids played sports. They still play sports. I'm all about it, okay? Please don't understand. But I will also tell you, we told our kids from a young age, you're going to church every week with us. That's just the way we roll. Now, our kids are a little bit older, and we don't tell them they have to come to church. We don't. Now, we eat after church. And if you don't come, we'll probably go shop. Come home with a bunch of stuff we wanted to get. So you have a choice. It's yours. That's manipulate. Yeah. We're moving it that way. But on a serious note, we've always made sure, even if our kids were in sports and other activities, church is a part of their world. God is a part of their world. Why? It's not so much about anything else, but teaching them about the priority of God in their life. Here's the reality. Michael may not be the star baseball player. He wasn't. He quit the year after. He quit playing. You know, and I coached. Maybe that's why. He quit playing. See, your kid may not be the all-star player. He may go all the way into college playing. But eventually, all that's going to stop. And if you haven't taken time while your kids are young to teach them proper priorities about God and getting to heaven, because I assure you of this, out of all the responsibilities I have as a father, my number one job is to make sure my kids get to heaven, praise God. That in my world is numero uno. I want them to have a relationship with God and for them to get to heaven. Amen? So I want to make sure I prioritize my life that way, prioritize how I live my life that way, so that they see as an example how to live a godly life. Isn't that right? One last scripture, and then I'm done. Check this out. This is Matthew 6:19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on on earth. That's about priorities right there, right? It says, where moth and rust can destroy them, or where thieves can break in and steal them. But what? But lay up for yourself treasure in where? In heaven. That's where our treasure is. And it's not saying you can't have stuff and enjoy stuff and live life. Man, if you've been around me very long, I live life. I have a good time, praise God. I believe God wants us to have things and enjoy life and do all that, but never allow those things to become your priority. God is our priority. It says, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where there neither moth nor rust can destroy, or where thieves can break in and steal. How many of you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Now, before I close, I just want to remind you that I believe that when we have heaven rolling in our heart, it should change the way we view. I gave you three areas that it changes. I'm sure there are many, many more. But as we, over the next several weeks, lay this thing out and really stir our hearts in the idea of heaven, I believe your priorities will change. I believe your perseverance will change. I believe your perception will change. I believe things that didn't matter begin to matter when you put heaven first over your life. I believe that with all my heart.